and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason. Another shortened intro in then.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University. If you've listened to the last two episodes, which if you haven't, you really should, you know what is up. But here is a quick reminder.
Yes, this is, I'm going to call it Crisis Week, leading up to Crisis on Infinite Earths, the event premiering on the CW. And we did a long video docuseries on patreon.com/Jawin called Crisis Club. Many of our patrons loved it so much, they said, hey, release it to everybody. So we decided to do that, but we're only releasing a very edited version. So if you want to see the full version of this audio podcast you're going to listen to with video, go over to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and support us over there. But today's episode is going to cover Crisis on Infinite Earths issues 5 and 6. So without further ado, let's get into some Crisis on Infinite Earths. I'm Jason Inman.
And I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And welcome to Crisis Club. This is Crisis Club episode 5. And if you don't know, this is the series where we go issue by issue through Crisis on Infinite Earths, because DC Worlds lived, DC Worlds died. And look at Alexander Luthor's Jericho.
Ooh. Not a fan.
No, it's not good. So we are talking about Crisis on Infinite Earths issue 5, which is called Worlds in Limbo. It was written and edited by Marv Wolfman. It was penciled by George Perez, and Jerry Ordway's doing the inks now. It was lettered by John Costanza, colored by Anthony Tolan, and this was published in August of 1985. All right, so let's hop into the issue. Ashley,
yeah.
This cover, the cover to issue 5, all the faces and all the earths, is probably, this is what I would call a classic George Perez issue.
Totally.
Like, you don't get more George Perez than a bunch of faces on a page. What do you think about this?
That's true, and I just want to point out something that you and I have criticized or pointed out in a number of our reviews, in different places, written, video, whatever, is people using the same face over and over and over again. Artists have stock faces for men, for women, for children. If you look at all these faces, there's a lot of subtle variation going on. Even if you look at, because split down the middle are all of our characters that have Earth 1 and 2 counterparts, or 2 and 3 counterparts, and even like the shape of Wonder Woman's face on each side is different. The shape of Superman's face on each side is different. I just think this cover is really tremendous.
I'm going to call out George Perez real quick here. Top row, on the other side of Bloodwind, we have Cheetah and Black Canary. Look like the same face to me. Right here and right here.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that's the same face.
The hairline.
Gotcha, George.
No, Black Canary has a cleft chin, and Cheetah does not have a cleft chin. Cheetah has round cheeks. Black Canary has square.
What were you going to say? I'm sorry, before I interrupt you.
I don't remember, so we'll come back to it if it's important. I was going to say, it's fun to look at this cover and see if your favorites made it onto the cover.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like, as a new Teen Titans fan, I was like, where's Raven? Where's
Ambush
Raven?
Bug is not pictured.
Where's Raven?
The hell with you, George Perez.
Starfire's right there. You know, that's fun. Let's talk about Lila. I think this, on the second page, it's so interesting because you see the last time we saw her, she was dressed as Harbinger, and now she's been depowered.
She's been de-Harbinger.
Which is interesting to me because the next scene we see her in is in that big splash page, and she's back in the Harbinger costume. So I want to know, Superman goes to a phone booth to change. Where does Lila Michaels go to change?
Nowhere. It happens in the... Look, we've been staring at a naked Alexander Luthor baby for 4 issues now.
Yeah.
Nudity is not a thing in the multiverse. We don't care. The thing we need to talk about is the Monitor's last message and the reveal of Alexander Luthor.
Uh-huh.
Again, naked baby finally has some clothes. And a giant Jerry curl.
5 issues.
So let's talk about this. So to safeguard the remaining universes, the Monitor turned his dead body into an energy conduit, basically where the Monitor's life essence shunted Earth 1 and Earth 2 into a netherworld to keep them safe. So we're keeping our 2 most important DC universes safe.
Fun fact, soon to be in the sort of chronological timeline of creation, soon to be ripped off by Fantastic Four, baby. Franklin Richards creates a pocket dimension to save everyone. That's kind of what the Monitor's doing here.
I mean, not for 15 years.
That's soon in the scope of the world.
Not really soon. It's like 15 years later.
Marvel copy DC, that's my point.
What do we think about this? The Monitor's death matters, is important? What do you feel about this?
Yeah, I think it does matter. And I had forgot from my initial reading of this event how early he dies.
Mm-hmm. I like it because, as we know,
With the monitor gone, that means we get more anti-monitor. I actually think that's geniusly designed in terms of writing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one fills the void of the other, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think the reveal of Alexander Luther is a little startling, particularly in his second panel, because you see just how red those eyebrows are, just how thick they are, and oh boy, the 80s.
In case we don't know, Ashley, what do you think about Alexander Luther's Jerry Curl?
I don't like it.
Let's see a real close-up of that right now. Yeah. Look at it.
Alexander Luther actually looks a lot like...
Every time I look at it, I hear...
He looks a lot like...
What does he look like?
Never mind.
Who does he look like?
He looks a lot like Jericho, the Teen Titans character, but without the mutton chops.
Well, that's why you say, like, George Perez doesn't have stock faces. I think George Perez has stock hairstyles.
He does have stock hairstyles because Scarlet Witch and Starfire have the same
hair. So we move on after all the time travel shenanigans, because we're finding that Earth 1 and Earth 2 and all the times of all the places are now combining, very similar to the season finale of Series 5 of Doctor Who, where all in time and space existed at the same time. You know, we see some biplanes flying a T-Rex, but let's go to that two-page spread here.
Can we we get to see Lana Lang being a reporter?
Yeah, that's a thing.
In this, which is cool. Well, Lana's only a reporter for a very brief period of time in her history.
She's a TV reporter with, you know who her co-anchor was?
Jimmy?
No, Clark Kent.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Clark Kent became a TV reporter pre-Crisis on Infinite.
I just think it's cool to see her here because we're so used to her. I'm so used to seeing Lois fill this expository role. So seeing it be Lana, I thought was cool, and she looks gorgeous.
I'm going to park this in everybody's headspace here. This is not the biggest cameo of the issue. I'm going to blow your mind in about 5 or 6 pages.
Okay.
Get ready.
Okay.
But let's talk about
this double-page spread.
Let's talk about this double-page spread.
With your metal men on display pretty prominently.
That's what I was going to talk about. The coolest thing is I believe it's Iron is stretched out here, but also Plastic Man is so stretched out here.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to look who you can like actually see. Like I can see Nightwing's there. I can see Jonah Hex is there. I can see Batgirl's there. Donna Troy is prominent. Power Girl is prominent.
Bouncing Boy is there.
A lot of the Legionnaires are very prominent in this thing. And it even
Cyborg
looks like
Changeling.
Solomon Grundy's in the background. It even looks like Metamorpho's back there. And Shining Knight, of course.
There's
is,
two
the big
Supermans.
Horsey.
There's Batman and Robin.
Because well, Earth 1 or 2.
Would have been Jason Todd at the time. Who is this D guy right here who looks like Daredevil?
Oh, that's...
We see him in close-up a little later, but no one says his name. And the whole time I was like, what's Matt Murdock doing
that's
here?
He's like a Legion of Superheroes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not that all important, actually.
And Waldo's in the back right there.
That's true.
Yes, he's really there.
That's really cool. There is an interesting cameo on the very next page with the alien talking where he says, I am Grix of SETI Alpha 6. Ashley.
Yeah.
Is that familiar to you?
SETI Alpha 6 is a Star Trek planet.
This is SETI Alpha 5! It's from Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
That is intentional. Actually, Marv Wolfman has said that he loved the Wrath of Khan, so he needed an alien planet, so he parked that in there.
Well, there you go. Star Trek now officially exists in the DC universe.
In the DC multiverse.
Thank you, Marv Wolfman and George Perez, for your service.
Yes. So we get to all the heroes. Alexander Luther basically says to all the heroes, this is what's up, this is what's happening. What do you think about this? Kind of exposition-y or interesting? This is part, to me, real quick, this is where I think the series gets a little complicated.
This issue is an exposition dump.
Mm-hmm.
Because up to this point, and it's been pretty talky because it's 80s comic storytelling. Up to this point, though, we've been pretty much dealing with the mystery and the action of worlds colliding. Worlds will live, worlds will die. What is Lila gonna do? Who is Alexander
What's
Luther?
What's the deal and, with Lila?
And now that Lila and Alexander Luther are having to step up.
So many. It's like we got a soundboard in this episode. I love it.
Are having to step up and do something. They are figuring it out. So we, as, you know, and the characters that we love as our sort of POV characters are having to figure it out as well. It is a little heavy-handed. It is a little talky. But there's a death coming in like 2 episodes. So we kind of have to get some things in line before.
You mean 2 pages?
2 issues. Well, the first big death is in 2 issues.
Well, let's talk about real quick.
So we're just lining up stuff to get
So
to
Alexander Luther introduces this idea that a multiverse was never supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That originally was supposed to only be one verse, and then it got split into things, which actually is quite the opposite of what quantum physics tells us, they do tell us that there is a multiverse
and,
out there.
And also what DC Comics tells us.
And it's infinite. But I'll give it a pass because it's comic book logic, mm-hmm. but it is kind of opposite where it's like, no, there was only supposed to be one universe. You could tell this with DC being like, guys, we can't have thousands of Earths.
There's too many Earths. We need one Earth.
We can't keep it straight. We can't do this stuff.
I love this panel right here that just looks like the Death Star. I think that's really funny.
I can't believe that you skipped the panel on the previous page.
The Nightwing in it?
With Mr. John Stewart meeting Alan Scott for the very first time.
I liked that panel.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked the Star Moore, evidently. Yeah,
that is the very first time the two of them have ever met.
Also, speaking of Green Lanterns, you know what happens on the page after the Death Star panel? One of my favorite Green Lanterns, Orisa.
Mm-hmm.
Actually gets to do something.
And this is Orisa wearing
a mask. Yeah, it's when she's really super young. Orisa is the orange-looking elf girl. She doesn't have a lot to do here, but I liked seeing her, and I love where she's next to the green panel that's shattering. Like, mm-hmm. you can see that George Perez is kind of playing with formatting here, which, for this time period, is pretty exciting.
Well, I love this because if you mess with the Guardians, that means that you are a super powerful foe. That is the whole reason. That's the story reason why they put this in here, which I really thought was interesting. All right, Ashley, we're here. Page 14. This is the biggest cameo in the entirety of Crisis on Infinite Earths. You may not have spotted it the first time, and Marv Wolfman has confirmed that this is exactly who this person is.
Lois Lane?
On page 14. On, I'm going to say panel 5, I'm going to call it panel 5, there is a panel where Earth 2 Superman, Lois, and Superman are in the same panel. If you notice, between Lois and Earth 1 Superman, there's a certain web-slinger.
Peter Parker, yeah.
Peter Parker is taking their picture. Peter Parker is in Crisis on Infinite Earths, and Marv Wolfman has said, and George Perez have both confirmed, that is Peter Parker.
That's awesome. Jason, I want to ask you, as our resident Superman expert,
yes.
The first two panels of the same page on 14, we have Superman punching a saber-toothed cat. Do you think that's an homage to the Golden Age Superman story where he fights a tiger?
Probably, but I also think that's probably an homage to Marv Wolfman's hatred of saber-toothed tigers.
Aw, Marv.
Well documented.
Marv.
So,
we found it in our research.
I actually love that Earth 2 Superman's interaction or introduction into Earth 1 Superman is, no reason to panic, Lois. I'm here because if you go back to Action Comics number 1, which is the Superman, one of the first lines that Superman says to Lois in Action Comics 1 is, don't worry, miss, there's no reason to be afraid of me.
Aww.
Or there's no reason. So I think this is an intentional sort of homage,
a pastiche,
line,
yeah.
back to that.
That's really nice.
I really like that. I think it's very, very intentional. I do like the next page where Batman and Robin and Earth 2 Robin and a young Bruce Wayne all enter these cavemen walking into their house, which is very interesting.
It's a very strange.
On the next page, we're introduced to Red Star, who is a character that has been modernized in the Jeff Johns run. He first appeared in Teen Titans number 18. His real name is Leonid Kovar. He's first appeared in December of 1968. He's actually created by Marv Wolfman.
Very cool.
He's a Marv Wolfman character.
There's so many dinosaurs in this issue.
There are a lot of dinosaurs because dinosaurs are important. Now, we finally get to the moment where Psycho Pirate and Barry Allen. Barry Allen's like, my name is Barry Allen.
And I miss my mom.
You should show your... Oh, I feel faint. And... He finally says to the secretive villain, show yourself. And the anti-monitor says, I see no reason I should deny you the privilege. Call me the monitor. Now, this is the monitor in his first body. As you're going to learn, he has multiple bodies. And I think this is the scariest version of the monitor.
Yes.
He looks really creepy. Ashley, what do you think about this introduction?
I think it's a great introduction because we have been teasing the anti-monitor for so long. It's very epic. I think it's almost as close to body horror as we're going to get from this character and from this particular story. What I think is most interesting about this design is, particularly if you look at the shape of the faceplate, it's so influenced by Darth Vader.
Oh, 100%. Which would have been huge at this time.
Absolutely. Which remains huge.
Yeah.
Like this.
We don't remember Star Wars. That's a movie that was released in 1977 that most people have forgotten about.
Just like this event remains huge in the comic book canon. I truly think this panel is startling. It's... depending on how you're reading it, if it's a reveal, it's probably even more startling. If you're reading the physical copy, it's on the second page, so you kind of get a minute to digest it in the corner of your eye while you're reading.
Yes.
So then it ends with the Freedom Fighters, who are always friends of mine, and I love, they're our personal friends. And
you like the Freedom Fighters?
I do like the Freedom Fighters, because don't you know, Ashley, the Ray is in there, the Silver Age Ray.
I know that. I love the Ray. Well documented. Mm-hmm. If you've been watching our Flash videos for a long, long time, that's true.
Right next to Harbinger.
Recent addition, the mm-hmm. Ray. These versions of the Freedom Fighters are a little much for me.
It's basically the only. This is basically the standard version of the Freedom Fighters.
I understand, but I mean, they're quite different from the Freedom Fighters in the DC TV animated version. Mm-hmm. That's all.
And I love that this issue ends basically with the next, the Freedom Fighters, the Captain Marvel family, plus Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, Peacemaker, Nightshade, and many, many more.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay, so we gotta say goodbye, actually. We always say goodbye to the people that die in this, and basically,
bye.
The only person that goes goodbye is the Monitor.
Bye!
Bye, Monitor.
Bye!
See you back there. Fun fact, the Monitor on our set actually has lost one of his arms. It broke off as soon as we got him, and you just can't tell because you can see from there.
Oh, I didn't notice.
His arm is on my desk.
I'll put a picture on our lens feed, so look out for that.
There you go. But Ashley, overall thoughts on this issue, what would you rate this issue based on a scale of 1 to 5?
I think this issue is perhaps the most heavy-handed of all the issues that we've had so far.
Of course.
Which is saying a lot, because we had a lot of heavy setup up to this point. It's giving us a lot of information that I know is going to pay off, because I know about what happens mm-hmm. in 6 and 7 in particular. It's the first time reading this where I really felt like it slowed down. The pace mm-hmm. of the story slowed down. I'm not saying it wasn't necessarily the right place to take a break, but it slows the momentum of reading. It's my least favorite issue we've read so far. I still don't think it's bad. I think I've given everything a 5 up to this point, so I'll give this one. I'm going to give this one a 4 because I did fall asleep reading it for this review and had to pick it up again later. How about you, Jason?
There's no doubt this is a 5 out of 5. This is not the weakest issue of Crisis. That's still number 2. Everything is exploding. Everything is combining. It is pretty exposition-y, mm-hmm. but you cannot give less than a 5 out of 5 for the debut of the Anti-Monitor, one of the best design characters and also one of the best DC comic villains of all time. Also, the old couple moment is really good. And Peter Parker's in this issue, guys. Screw Endgame. Screw Spider-Man Far From Home. Screw Homecoming. Best Peter Parker appearance.
Look, when Miles Morales shows up in Crisis on Infinite Earths, you're going to be really impressed.
So we're going to tell you about some of the other issues that tie into this story. These come from the official Crisis Companion Order. So when you read Crisis 5, you then want to read All-Star Squadron number 53 through 56, Infinity Inc. number 22, Superman 413, and DC Comics Presents number 95. Superman 413 is where Superman is kidnapped by Brainiac, which basically leads into the next issue of Crisis on Infinite.
Cool.
So there you go. All right, issue number 6 is called 3 Earths, 3 Deaths. It was written and edited by Marv Wolfman, with pencil by George Perez, with inks by Jerry Ordway, inked by Dick Giordano and Mike DiCarlo, lettered by John Costanza, colored by Anthony Tollin, and published in September of 1985. And we gotta start this off, Ashley. We're looking at the cover.
The true body horror that is the cover of this issue.
Why is this body horror?
For me, I have a thing about teeth.
These are some ugly
teeth. This looks like they've put like a dental dam on this guy. And it's very frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. It's like when Tim Sale draws the Joker and he has too many teeth in his mouth. That's what this image looks like to me. To me, this is the first truly scary cover that we've seen for Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, and then you flip right to the first page and you get to finally see the Anti-Monitor in full design. Well, that's his later design. That's his second design. This is his first design. What do you think about this? Because I think he looks super cool.
He does look very cool. And to have him literally colored in the cool blue next to two characters in red, who are both in independent states of panic, I think is very telling and very intelligent use of the medium.
Yes. Now, as promised, the Anti-Monitor imbues the Psycho Pirate with the power to control the emotions of the three worlds that are left over, the entire planet. This is more powerful than the Psycho Pirate has ever been to this point.
I actually think it's really, the Psycho Pirate's really kind of funny here because the Anti-Monitor has literally no time for him and his nonsense. Like,
no.
He's constantly like, shut up, do this thing or I will take the power away and I will kill you.
Yes. Now, we get to see, of course, Alex Luthor in the next couple pages.
With his fabulous hair.
Yes, with his coif. Alex hooks himself up to one of the machines and then he is able to draw in three other Earths. Now, he's able to save three other Earths because all the other Earths in the multiverse are dead. These Earths are Earth 4, Earth S, and Earth X. Now, Ashley,
yes.
Do you know what these are? Do you know what these Earths are?
Earth X is the Nazi planet.
Yes, Earth X is the Nazi planet, which, again, very important to the DC TV. We've already seen
uh-huh.
it. What is Earth S?
Earth Sunshine.
No, Earth Shazam.
Oh, I did know
yeah,
that.
So, yeah, so this is where
or
all the,
AKA Shazam World.
This is where all the Fawcett Comics characters are, Captain Marvel and Talkie Tommy.
Yeah.
And Uncle Dudley and Mary Marvel and stuff like that. Ashley, do you know what Earth 4 is? Because Earth 4 contains one of your favorite comic book characters of all time.
Oh boy. No?
Earth 4 is the home of the Charlton Comics characters, including Ted Kord,
Blue Beetle,
Captain Atom, Peacemaker, The Question.
Daredevil?
I don't think Daredevil's in this this one. So these are the three other Earths that we get to pop in. Now, we see that Ted Grant, the original Wildcat, is hurt.
Yes.
And we have a new character here, Yolanda Montez. What do you think about this? What do you think that they Marvel Open is trying to say here by taking out Wildcat?
I guess he's trying to tell us that the old school is dead and we're making room for the new school. I'm not sure what we're doing by kind of debilitating to him. And this issue kind of serves by the end of it as an origin for Lady Wildcat.
Yolanda, yeah. This is a spoiler for future issues of Crisis,
yeah.
If you haven't read it. The thing that Crisis on Infinite Earths is most well known for is the death of Barry Allen.
Yeah.
I think this is sort of a foreshadowing of Wally West taking over the Flash. I think this is Marv Wolfman trying to tell the audience, hey,
it's okay for a legacy character to step up and
yes,
assume the mantle.
It's gonna be okay if an old classic character goes away because we have a legacy character waiting in the wings. That's what I think
Some
this is.
Some little meta-narrative puppet strings.
Now, in all my research, I could find nothing that confirmed this.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just saying my gut reaction, I think this is Marv Wolfman doing a little bit of hand-holding to the audience.
Yeah, totally.
You know, is what I think this is.
Dr. Light on page 2 gets rescued. Someone catches her and she goes, unhand me, you dolt. Like, I love that Dr. Light, Lady Dr. Light has no time to be a dandel. She's like, put me down. I'm in control. I know what to do.
Well, this is her first story.
Yep.
Like, this is her very, very first story. So I kind of understand it. And we have these characters all fighting the anti-matter wave. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the very, we go ahead a couple of pages here. Dr. Light blasts the thing and we find that Psycho Pirate cannot contain all of the emotions.
Yeah.
And then guess who pops in on Earth 4? We get a flying craft. They're all like, this is a flying craft that I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it belongs to Mr. Old Ted Kord. This is the guy that pops out of the bug is the original Captain Atom.
Cool.
This is the Charlton Captain Atom, the guy who has the blue shirt and the red pants and all stuff
Since
like that.
Since we're visiting there.
Well, these are all some of the, this is the first appearance of these Charlton characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a really, really cool fight between Katana and Judo Master.
And then Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, Martian Manhunter strikes up and stuff like that. And again, it's tough. I'm going to say right this. It's tough to talk about this issue. Because this issue is just a bunch of fights.
This issue is a giant fight scene, and it's interesting because it's basically in preparation for Breaking Your Heart in the next issue.
Yes. We get an underwater scene with Aquaman and Ocean Master. We get to see Changeling with Black Canary. But I want to stop because Captain Marvel shows up.
I do.
And he recognizes Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I felt you before. I know who this thing is. And then Supergirl tries to get Captain Marvel to not fight her.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes into these other things like
I love
this,
the panel where he's got his hands together and he's smashing them into the ground. That's a very Golden Age move to me in that panel.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so we see a bunch of panels of Harbinger.
Can I just call out? There's
please call out anything.
A panel, and it's the white background, and it's on the inside of the page, and you can see Harbinger, and she's just pink, and she's just purple. I think that image is so striking and so gorgeous and so feminine, and it's little moments like this. I mean, we've already talked about what a genius George Perez is, but I love that panel, so I wanted to shout it out.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, Ashley?
Mary Marvel.
Otherwise, we're going to blaze through this issue real quick.
Mary Marvel shows up in this. I love Mary Marvel. She fights Wonder Woman, which is interesting because there's kind of a whole sequence, and Black Canary shows back up, and we have these three iconic DC characters, and they're fighting each other, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a bummer, and it's where we see scenes like this that I think that a lot of the show is going to pull from this, but I wanted to shout out Mary Marvel because she is so beloved, and I like her appearance here, but you're right, it is tough to pull. I mean, we could pull all the character appearances all we wanted, but, like, this is a fight scene.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the page that's more beautiful is the page where it's all the planets zooming into Harbinger's belly, and it's all pink and stuff like that. And
again, a very, very feminine image that it's all going mm-hmm. into sort of the middle of her body.
And then the very next page is, like, this gobbledygook lightning storm of some effect. So this is the page, of course, where Harbinger does the thing of linking Earth-S, Earth-X, Earth-4, Earth-1, and Earth-2. And because of this, she's no longer... Harbinger, she's just Lila. That's the thing too, is they say in this that even though they've saved these five worlds are all merging, mm-hmm. gotta act quick or else they're gonna just go, they're all gonna smash together.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so we get to the very end. Ted Grant's not doing very well, and Yolanda Montez appears in the rooftops as a new Wildcat. Fun fact, Yolanda basically disappears a couple years after Crisis. She does not really exist. She is a cousin of the former JSA Museum curator, Alexander Montez, and we later meet that character who attempts to avenge Yolanda during the Geoff Johns JSA series, because mm-hmm. Yolanda later dies. All right, so that's it for the issue. Let's hop right into Crisis Man. By this point, the original issues of Crisis on Infinite Earths, there are no, you know, musings from Marv.
Yeah.
They're all letters, but I want to say that there's a funny letter in the back that comes from Rick C. Moore in Richmond, Indiana. He says, but in closing, he ends this letter, I have to ask one small favor. Please don't kill Crypto.
Oh, sweet baby.
Which I thought was very fun.
Spoiler alert, no Cryptos were harmed in the making of these issues.
Well, sort of. His Earth disappears. So Crypto does cease to exist after this crossover, by the way.
Yeah, but then he comes back.
I mean, 10 years later.
Yeah, but that's better than... How long does Barry Allen stay dead?
Yeah, I don't
forever.
Know. Ashley,
yeah.
What would be your rating? We're here to the rating of Crisis on Infinite Earths, Issue 6. What would be your rating of this issue?
Well, I think I've given every single issue a 5 up to this point, mm-hmm. or maybe a 5 and a 4. I think this issue, as evidenced by the fact that we didn't have a lot to say about it, is perhaps a step down from the ones that are that precede it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, because I know what happens in issue 7, because it's right on the goddamn cover, and because it is so iconic,
whoa.
I think this is an issue that is designed to ease us into it. Now, I know there are people out there watching saying, but they're destroying all of these Earths. They're not Earths that anyone cares about.
No.
No one cares about Fawcett Earth. No one cares about Nazi. We don't care about Nazi Earth.
Do you even remember who Earth 1257821 was? No, you don't, because I just made it up.
There's only 52 Earths.
Not in this version.
I know, which is why this event
it's
exists.
Completely wrong. There were literally thousands of Earths.
Yes, but
and they had letters and numbers.
But I think that this is the calm before the storm, and I think having it be a big fight sequence is an intelligent way to make it seem like something happened, even though really nothing happened.
Not really
until
much
Lila
happens.
Ate everything into her belly. So I still think it's well crafted. I still think it's gorgeous. So I'll give it a 4. I mean, I think it is a little bit of filler, but I've read a lot worse filler issues in my day.
Yeah.
And including recently, I still think there's a lot to be mined and a lot to be learned about the art of telling a comic book story.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's less good than the previous 5, and it's got a scary cover. Jason, how about you?
Give it a 5. I think it's a great issue.
Oh, wow.
That's all I have to say about
it. There you
go. So there are some other issues that tie into the story, and this comes from the official order of the Crisis Companion. So you want to read this issue, Crisis number 6, and then you just want to read Crisis number 7. That's it. There's no tie-ins
you
in
read,
between
you
these
read
two issues.
All them 55 issues last time. You don't have to do it this time.
That's right. All right, so there you go. That's this issue. Sorry, it's a little bit shorter than normal, but you know, it's a lot of fighting, a lot of punch in this episode. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back here for more Crisis Club. Thank you so much for the support here on Patreon, because this support is why Crisis Club can happen. This has been Crisis Club talking about issue 6, Some Worlds Died, and the Flash fought for some emotional control. I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
Crisis Club!